Indeed. 1:30 with Mike for Bob. And Bob normally has the pleasure of speaking to the lovely Margaret today. It's my pleasure. Good afternoon, Margaret. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mike. Very well, thank you.
Good. Welcome. And first time we've met. And I understand you're an avid reader. And what have you been reading recently?
I've been reading a book, a paperback book, called The Voices by an author, F.R. Tallis.
Somebody I've not heard of.
No, I hadn't heard of him either. Apparently, he has written a number of books, psychologist by profession.
Ah, what attracted you to this title in
the
first place?
Very interesting. Well, I picked up the book. I read some of the brief sketch on the back of the book and thought, this sounds interesting. Mm. And, you know, went from there, really.
It's set in the summer of 1976. I was a small boy then, and it was a fantastic summer. I spent it at Mumbles in Swansea in South Wales. Wonderful memories from that time.
Yes, yeah, sadly, I can remember 1976.
Don't say sadly.
Sadly, I wish I could say otherwise. But so a bit of nostalgia in the book for anyone who, like us, is of a certain age,
right, okay,
and can remember. Yes, it's it concerns the plot hinges on a musician. He composes instrumental music for things like films, TV documentaries, and programs of that ilk. He's beginning to struggle for work. Just moved into a very big house in North London, very expensive house. The idea being that it's the ideal house to set up his own recording studio. So he's invested heavily in the house and the equipment that goes with it. And all goes well until he begins to hear on the tapes that he makes noises, sounds and voices. I know, shivers down the spine. He begins to hear these disembodied voices that have no logical reason or logical explanation why they're there. And apparently the author, F.R. Tallis, is very into something called electronic voice phenomena.
Oh.
Something I knew less than nothing about.
Well, I know nothing about it.
No, well, apparently research on it peaked in the 1970s. And it's a study of how, by recording medium, voices, disembodied voices, can appear on tapes, records, anything that's capable of capturing sound. And those voices are thought to be the voices of the dead trying to communicate with the living.
So is this a scary book?
It is in parts. Not all the way through.
No plot spoilers.
No, he builds up the tension very well, I have to say, and introduces a lot of characters and situations that you think have got some sort of bearing on the plot, but they haven't. I think he's very adept at bringing in red herrings throughout the book. And that's part of the reason why it's definitely a page-turner.
Right. Does that inspire you to go and look out for more works by this author?
Yes, I would. I would definitely consider. Look, next time I'm in the bookshop, the library, I'll be looking for further works by Mr. Tallis.
And this is The Voices on paperback, F.R. Tallis, published by Macmillan and price $7.99. Now, what else have you been reading? Let me just rephrase that. What else? The summer is always the busiest time for reading because I'm a reader. I'm a terrible reader. I'll go on holiday and I'll read 7 books, but then that will be it for the year, really. I'll just go mad on the beach and just lie there or whatever, wherever I am.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is the time of the year when people are looking out for a good book, something that's going to hold their attention. I've been reading a number of things, actually. I've also been doing some rereading of books that I've read before, which I like to do. After a couple of years, I think you can go back and find something new. So a couple of books that I've been rereading are The Go-Between by L.P. Hartley. And again, those of us who are of a certain age may recall the film with Julie Christie.
No, I don't. Now, the name L.P. Hartley sounds like J.P. Hartley, doesn't
it? Yes, it does. He's not a fly fisherman, no, and he doesn't appear in yellow pages as far as I know. No, he's an author, sadly deceased now, but an excellent book. It's about a country house towards the end of the Victorian era and the people that come there to spend a summer. And their stories are all interwoven. Very good. Again, another very readable book. I think it won an award when it was a book award when it was first published in the 1950s.
So, let's take your suitcase for this summer, your holiday. Are you taking mainly fiction, or do you take biographies? Do you take historical stuff? What?
Mix of both.
Right,
I like to take. I'm interested in most things, really. Doesn't have to be history or literature. I mean, they're the subjects that I'm involved with because I teach them. But you know, anything really. I'm interested really in a wide genre.
It's difficult, isn't it? I mean, my favourite author, I suppose, not a novel, but a factual writer, is Bill Bryson. I just
oh yes,
I've read everything he's ever written. I used to read him before in the days when he published in the U magazine in the Mail on Sunday. Just loved his column, etc., and became fascinated by the man. Hoping to be a guest on this programme in the not too distant future.
Right.
And just one of those really really good authors, but. It's a acquired taste, isn't it, some authors? I mean, I always loved Ed McBain, who, you know, an American crime writer, sadly no longer with us. But where's your favourites lie?
Oh, it's difficult. I've got so many. I don't think I can really pick one. The book I'm reading at the moment actually has captivated me quite a bit. And it's one that I'd sort of earmarked to review for next time. It's called A Green and Pleasant Land. And it's subtitled How England's Gardeners Fought the Second World War.
All right, okay.
And it just caught my eye because with all the commemorations going on for the 70th anniversary of the D-Day landings, and obviously the 100th anniversary of the start of World War One. Thinking along those lines, but I wanted to read something that dealt with how civilians coped. Right, lots of books about the military and how different generals fought the war, but not too much about how the ordinary man and woman and child in the street coped with the war and wartime conditions. So it caught my eye. I've started reading it and I'm well on the way.
Are you a disciplined reader or do you dip in and out all the time?
No, I do dip in and out.
You can do that with biographies, and you can do that with you know, historical documents or whatever. Mm. But with novels, I find it very hard to dip in. And I'll sit there for hours until I finish. If it grips me,
yes, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, most of the time I do dip in and out, but I think occasionally you get hold of a book, and it's literally you can't put the book down, and you do make a concerted effort to read it in one go, perhaps.
Okay. As you said, you are of a certain age, very young, incidentally.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you still buy books and get out of the library, or have you gone electronic? Are you on a reading device
no.
yet?
No. I'm afraid the electronic book reading age, I haven't caught up with that yet.
Do you think you will, though?
I don't know. I like the feel of a book.
Yeah, that is the main argument, isn't it? I mean, everybody, you cannot knock the fact that you can take 50 books away in your suitcase on a little device and just take that down to the beach. You can't. That is good progress.
That's right.
But there's nothing better than falling asleep with a book across your chest in a comfortable chair with the sun shining on you, is there, really?
That's right. And I think also, I know we've joked, but I think it's perhaps an age thing as well. If, you know, you've grown up reading books because hardback, paperback, because there was nothing else. And it's very difficult to make that switch, isn't it?
Mm.
Perhaps some people do it very easily. But the idea of getting a, you know, electronic book, it really doesn't appeal to me.
No, just
at the moment.
Just looking at the top 10 books on Amazon today, these are the top 10 top 100, actually. The first book, number one, is The Fault in Our Stars by John Green, which I haven't read, but it's a novel. Then you've got a diet book at number two. Then you've got another novel at number three by Robert Galbraith, which is, of course, J.K. Rowling. The Secret was out, but she didn't keep that very secret. The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt is at number four, again, another novel. Then a book by a professor about mind management called The Chimp Paradox. George Martin's Game of Thrones, of course, a TV tie-in at number six. Guy Martin's biography at number seven. Jamie and his Save with Jamie at eight, a cookbook. Number nine, another novel, Cassandra Clare is The Mortal Instruments. Number 10, Mindfulness, a Practical Guide to Something. Peace. There we are. so out of the top 10, we've got one, two, three, four, five novels. That's not bad, I suppose, in the days of cookbooks and guides and fitness things and all that, is it?
No. I always look at the top 10, but I'm not, oh, I must go out and buy that. I must go and read that. I mean, the book I was reading before I started on Green and Pleasant Land, which is the one I'm on at the moment, was ghostwritten by a lady called Isabel Wolf. And again, she's an established writer, but I hadn't read any of her books at all. I'd vaguely heard of her as an author, but not read any of her books. And I found it was an incredibly moving book. Wonderful book, again about incidents in the Second World War, but from a military and civilian angle. And the book was incredibly gripping, very, very moving, and in places very funny. So it was a nice mix. And it was one of those books where you're loath to put the book down.
Okay. Do you think the state of authorship, shall we say, in the country at the moment is pretty healthy? Are we getting lots of new authors coming through, writing good stuff?
Yeah, we are. I would say it's a mix. Some of it, obviously I don't read everything, so it would be unfair of me perhaps to make a blanket judgment. But I find of what I do read, you know, it's a mixed bag. Again, like everything else, some authors you think, well, how did this get published? And there's hope for me yet. I'm going to write my blockbuster and, you know, it's got to be better than this.
Have you started?
No.
No, you mean no? You mean you haven't got an idea, have you?
No.
No, I was saying to Chaz, who was a guest last week, that I've got a book in me. It's great until page two when somebody's head falls off. Somebody's head always falls off on page two for me, and I can't get past that, so I've got writer's block past page two.
It's going to be a very small book then, Mike, isn't it? Really? But the good news is it should be fairly cheap.
It will be very, very cheap, yes.
Good, great.
Margaret, thank you very much for coming in today. And,
thank you, Mike.
I look forward to your summer reading. Come back next month. You come back with Bob?
I do, indeed. Okay. I'm back next month.
And the book you recommend this week again is by F.R. Challis, and it's called?
It's called A Green and Pleasant Land, subtitled How England's Gardeners Fought the Second World War, and it's by a lady called Isabel.